The following program, L'chaim, is a look at Jewish culture and customs and insights we can glean about the Messiah.
Shalom. Coming from a Jewish background, I fondly remember growing up as a young boy in outside of New York City. One of my favorite times of the year was Passover. My brother and my sister, or my brothers and my sister, my family, my mom and dad, we would go to my mother's parents' apartment in New York City to celebrate the Passover, to have a Seder. There would be somewhere close to 50 people that would be in their apartment. It would be a 5 or 6, 7 hour evening. Literally, people from around the world, at least the United States, would come to be part of that Passover. Reading the Haggadah and remembering the story of the Exodus certainly was a major part of the evening. We would have Jewish people from all kinds of different backgrounds. Atheists, agnostics, Reformed, Conservative, Orthodox. Many were there for the socializing, and that was certainly a large part of the evening. Some were there just because it was tradition. Others, it was a spiritual evening as well, as we would reflect back on the God of Israel delivering the Jewish people from Egypt, and the hope of freedom that still burns in the hearts of our fellow men, as I remember the Haggadah saying. What we would do, and many Jewish families do during the Passover, is we would read the book, and there would be no explanation. It would just be part of the ritual of the Seder. I always remember the Hallel. The Hallel is Psalm 113 through 118. Psalm 113 through 114 is prior to the meal. After the meal, Psalm 115 through 118. It's found in every Haggadah. It wasn't until many years after my initial Seders that I attended that I really gave any thought to what Psalm 118, that portion of the Hallel, spoke about. I'm not going to look at the entire chapter, but I do want to bring your attention to one verse, and that's verse 22. And again, this is very commonly read at every Passover. And it says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner." The stone is a messianic term. In the Tanakh, the Jewish scripture, the Messiah is referred to as the cornerstone here, but he is also referred to in the Jewish scriptures as the foundation stone, the rejected stone, the tried stone, the smiting stone. The stone is a messianic designation. But then it says, "the stone which the builders rejected." The builders are the Jewish people, Israel. God is the architect. It's His plan. The Bible is His Word, and revealed in the Word of God is His plan for the world, for Jew and Gentile, for nations, for Israel and the nations of the world. He is the architect. He is the source. But God would use the Jewish people to work out His plan for the world. That's why He called Abraham, and then through Isaac, and then Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. God would use the Jewish people to work out His plan for the world. So in the 118th Psalm, in verse 22, when it says, "The stone, the Messiah, which the builders, which the Jewish people refused or rejected." When Messiah came the first time, he fulfilled exactly what the Hebrew prophets spoke of. Isaiah tells us about this, that great chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, where it says in a portion of that chapter, "He is despised and rejected of men." It's the Messiah. Just what the psalmist says here, "The stone, the Messiah, which the builders, the Jewish people, refused, rejected." See, when the Messiah, when Jesus came some 2,000 years ago, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. This was prophesied in the Jewish scriptures, the Tanakh. This is what is read, if not sung, every year at the Passover. "The stone, the Messiah, which the builders, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, refused, rejected, has become the headstone of the corner, the cornerstone." In biblical days, the cornerstone was the most important block in the building. One would prepare the foundation, go to the rock quarry, and then cut out the cornerstone. They would work on the cornerstone for hours, oftentimes a rectangular stone it would end up, and make it as perfect on every side as possible. They would then go place it on the foundation, go back to the rock quarry, cut out the second stone rather quickly, and it wouldn't need to be perfect. It would be off 2 degrees, 3 degrees, 4 degrees, whatever. And they would lay it next to the cornerstone. And every subsequent stone for that building, they would lay the third one next to the second, but line it up with the cornerstone. The fourth next to the third, but line it up with the cornerstone. And as long as they lined up all of those stones or blocks for the wall, you would have a building that would be fitly framed. Now that's a reference to a verse in the New Covenant, the later scriptures, where God is speaking of building a building made of people. And Jesus, the Messiah, is the cornerstone of that building. See, when we talk of the church, most people get the idea either of a denomination or a building. But church comes from the word, Greek word, ekklesia, called out ones. It is Jews and Gentiles who have put their trust in Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, He who is the Messiah of Israel. And we then have eternal life and belong to the household of God. So the stone, the Messiah, which the builders, the Jewish people, refused, rejected, God has made the most important part of the building, the cornerstone. And then it goes on in verse 23 and said, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." That was God's plan. From the very beginning, it's God's work. It's God's doing. When man would sin against God, Adam sinned against God, and sin entered into the world. God sent in motion a plan to redeem us back to Him. That's why He called Israel. That's why He called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, a present-day area of Iraq. And through Abram, who would become Abraham, came ultimately the Jewish people. That through them would come that son of David, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the promised one of Israel, who would bring redemption for Jew and for Gentile. It's God's doing. This is not any religious group's plan. It's not the Catholics. It didn't originate with them, or the Presbyterians, or the Lutherans, or the Baptists, or the Methodists, or the Jews. No, this is God's doing. But then that passage that every year is read at the Seder, it is marvelous in our eyes. For those of us who understand that the Messiah of Israel, the architect would send him through the Jewish people, but that stone which the builders, Israel, the Jewish people rejected, God has made the most important part of the building because he is our Redeemer. He shed his blood, died for our sins that we can have eternal life. This is the Lord's doing, but it is marvelous in our eyes. If you understand that, it is marvelous. And if you happen to be listening at this time and you have embraced Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior, as your sin bearer, you have passed from death unto life, spiritually speaking. And you understand how marvelous, how amazing this is. That the stone, the Messiah, which the builders, the Jewish people, Israel, refused, rejected, God has made the most important part of the building, the cornerstone, because through him, Jesus the Messiah, we have life and life eternal, forgiveness of sins. It is marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous in my eyes. I came to this understanding of who Jesus truly is. Not the Christian Jesus, not the Catholic Jesus, but the Jesus of the Scriptures, the promised one of Israel, Messiah. Many years ago, I put my trust in him. It is by far the best thing I have ever done. So think about this. The stone, the Messiah, which the builders, the Jewish people, Israel, rejected, God has made the most important part of the building. This is God's doing. I hope you understand it. This is the teaching of the Word of God, the Jewish Scripture, not a religion. And if you do understand it, it will be marvelous in your eyes. Shalom.
You have been listening to L'Chaim, where we learn about life through Messiah seen in Jewish culture.